This may be a new song to some of you, but it's a really not a new song. 1944. But it just kind of fit this morning with my theme of On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. No other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So this just kind of goes with that. If you know it, sing your heart out. If you don't know it, I think you'll catch on before the end of it.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid ground. Its rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid ground. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure.
I rest on His unchanging grace. In every Lord, wonderful Savior, I hope for sure.
Our prayer time this morning. The first item that I would mention are those people that are lost. We are surrounded by a society that seems to want to do away with God. Any thoughts of God? My heart has been touched by a couple of things this week, and we said we didn't have a mission moment, but I guess we do. Last Sunday evening, about 5:30, a tornado ripped through Quapaw, Oklahoma, and traveled northeast and hit Baxter Springs, Kansas. Your associate pastor spent Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday working in Baxter Springs, dealing with the situation there that is tragic, and yet not as tragic as it could have been, because not one person lost their lives in that tornado that hit Baxter Springs. 29 were injured. Quapaw, Oklahoma, there were two that lost their lives. I'm saying that to say this. One of the houses that we worked on, the individual came across the street to talk to me that owned the house, and she said, "My daughter is in that house. She's the mother of those two little boys that were out front, but she has diabetes so bad that she's had both of her feet amputated, and she cannot move about the house or take care of those kids, and that tornado basically ripped the roof off of her house. We covered it with a blue tarpaulin that you're so familiar with seeing. Maybe if you've been around very much, they come from Walmart's. These came from Race Brothers that we were able to use, but God worked some miracles there, and God is still on the scene in that devastated area, and people still need our prayers there. And then I don't know how many of you watch Fox News, But this week there were two instances where children were told that talking to God was not appropriate in the classroom or in the lunchroom. And we know that isn't true, that we still have freedom here, but some people still have a slanted view on it. In the classroom, they had a silent period where the children were allowed or told they were allowed to do what they wanted to do. And this little girl pulled her Bible out, and the teacher, as soon as she saw it, or he saw it, whichever it happened to be, stepped up and said, "You can't do that. You can't read your Bible during this time of silence." I think that's been straightened out through the school board and through that teacher. And then in the other instance, as the children received their lunch, one little boy bowed his head to pray over his lunch. And almost immediately, the person in charge of the cafeteria came over and said, "You can't do that here in this area." And so we have forces of evil that are trying to their best to destroy our children's spiritual lives. And so we need to pray for the people who are lost. I'm not trying to get up a stoning party to go stone this teacher or this person who was in charge of the cafeteria. They need the Lord. And unless we who call ourselves Christians share the Lord with them, they're going to into eternity lost. And so in this time of prayer, we need to remember them. Also, those that are ill, we need to continue to pray. I see Truman and Bert are with us this morning, and Truman looks pretty sharp back there, and that lady sitting beside him looks really nice too, and we're glad that they're able to be here in the service with us today. And then I see Helen back there with her daughter, and we're glad that she's able to be here. She had a big sale at her house this week, getting rid of some I called it junk, and then I referred to it as stuff. I don't know how you see it, but anyway, Helen is trying to make preparations for the future, and so we're glad that she's able to be here in the service today. Debbie Brandstein is going to have surgery tomorrow, and we need to remember her. The Burks, both of them, both Ray and Bonnie are struggling with physical needs, and we need to remember them today. My wife is at home today. She had surgery, a cataract surgery on her eye Friday morning, and I'm happy to report to you that she's doing very well, or I think. Someone was teasing me last night that with her being able to see, she'd probably be shutting her eyes when she looked at me. And I didn't appreciate that comment. I had noticed her sitting there with her right eye closed, though. So, but anyway, remember those that have physical needs. Bruce Brandstein faces surgery in the future here. And you probably know someone that has a special need. And let's continue to remember them. Remember those people. 215 houses were destroyed in the community of Baxter Springs, damaged or destroyed, and 35 businesses were damaged or destroyed. So there are a lot of people around us that are hurting and need our prayers today. Let's stand together as the choir sings. If you'd like to pray around the altars are certainly open at this time. And please step out if you feel the need to come to the altar to pray.
Holy Spirit, Thou art glad on this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art
Heavenly Father, as you look upon our world, you're not willing that any should be lost. You're not willing that any should die a spiritual death. You sent your Son to save the lost. And Lord, we're very thankful for that today. The message from this pulpit and this church is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The God who looks on every heart and loves and cares for each individual. And so, Lord, as we pray today, we pray for those that are lost. Those people that do not know you, those people whose sins are not forgiven. And we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, to draw them. Lord, we are knowledgeable in knowing that your Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts and lives today. We pray for those that are ill and afflicted and those that are struggling with different maladies. Lord, it seems that on every hand today, we were talking about it before Sunday school this morning. Maybe we need our own clinic right here at this church. No, what we need is the great physician to touch. We're so glad for your touch on some of those that are able to be back with us today after having difficulties. And Lord, we continue to be blessed and thank you for the healing hand of God upon hearts and lives. We believe you today. And then, Lord, as we come to the celebration of Baby Day and the new lives that you've sent our way, we pray for these families and these children. Lord, we want our children to be saved. We want our grandchildren to be saved. We want our great-grandchildren to be a part of the great kingdom of God. And so as we celebrate Baby Day today, may this be according to your plan and your will. Lord, have your way. Sweep through this church building this morning in the power of your Holy Spirit and speak to our hearts. We are blessed to be together. We praise your name today. Help us to worship in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This song is for all of us, but especially the children this morning. I want to be sure that every child here realizes that Jesus loves them. And I want to be sure that my granddaughter Elizabeth Grace realizes that Jesus loves her. That's the prayer of my heart this morning. Me, this I know, for the Bible tells. little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Heaven's gates to open wide, He will wash away my sin. Let His little loves every one of us because the Bible tells me so.
Steve, I'm not sure whether we should have said amen or clap. That was almost like being in church itself, wasn't it? How long has it been since you heard Jesus Loves Me sung exactly that way? Thank you. I love children. We have six, well, I guess I ought to start with our own kids. We have two children. Six grandchildren and three great-grandchildren. And we are blessed in such a marvelous way by God. Someone has said, if I'd have known grandchildren would have been this much fun, I'd have had them first. And then someone else has said, well, grandchildren are so much more fun because they can come to your house and you can spoil them all you want to and then you can send them home. And mom and dad has to pay the price for the spoiling. Our granddaughter Bella has a piggy bank. It's probably that big around. And she collects money, tries to collect money every morning to go in her piggy bank. I don't know what the motive is. I think her grandmother set her up to it. But anyway, she came in one morning to me and said, Grandpa Great, you got any money for my bank? And I said, well, Bella, I don't have any coins. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, well, I've got a dollar. So I pulled a dollar out of my pocket, and her grandmother had to go through the rigmarole of explaining to her that a dollar was more than the coin she was going to get. So she finally took the dollar and put it in her piggy bank and went on about her way. A few days later, she went to her mom, and she said, Mom, do you have any money for my piggy bank? And she said, no. Don't have any coins. And she said, have you got any dollars? And she said, no, I don't have any dollars either. And she said, Grandpa Great does. So she was looking and making plans to receive from the hand of Grandpa Great dollars again. Well, children are so beautiful to have around. Then they become teenagers. And sometimes we as adults struggle with teenagers. Any parents ever struggled with a teenager? Any teenagers ever struggled with teenagers? But you know what? Teenagers are such a blessing. Our granddaughter graduates from high school next Saturday evening. Looking forward to that. The kids always do the things that please you? Or do kids, are they kind of little independent individuals that don't always do exactly like we expect them to? Well, I want you to be encouraged today, regardless of what your child does, because God has a plan for their lives. And whether they're small children or whether they're older children, or if you plan to have children one of these days, God has a plan for their lives. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 4th verse, very clearly laid out what God thinks about children and the way to teach them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of the Word of God today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. These were instructions to the Jewish men and women who had children. It tells us that wherever you go, wherever your children are, they need to be familiar with the God Creator. He said, when you're at home, or when you're traveling on the road, of course, we don't walk roads anymore, we drive. Always keep the commandments of the Lord before them. When you lie down, when you sit, whatever. He said, even tie them as symbols on your forehead and around your arms. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Jewish folk, but they have little leather boxes that are called phylacteries. And in those little leather boxes, they put these words, the Shema. They tie them around their head. If you meet an Orthodox Jew, they have that little phylactery on their forehead. Looks uncomfortable to me. And then they have one on their arm. And the Orthodox Jewish people pray for their children, and their children are a part of every part of their lives. I get kind of tickled today at people who say about their children, well, I've just got to get away from them. I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I want you to be encouraged today. I think children are so much a part of our lives. And we need to be with them as much as we can. And we need to teach them the Word of God as much as we can. Most social problems are linked to a breakdown of godly beliefs and from the family life that deteriorates because of a lack of godly beliefs. A failure to respect the Creator leads to problems. A failure to recognize Him as who He is. A failure to recognize Him, His Son, sent that all men might have salvation. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture referred to by the Jewish people as the Shema, Moses taught what life should be like in the Promised Land. You see, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt were impacted by the people that they came in contact with, by their values. And so as they were affected by those people, Moses saw a need for the Jewish immigrants as they traveled through the land to keep these words of God before them. He said, it's so important you carry it on your forehead. Now, I'm not telling you to carry a black box on your forehead. I'm telling you to keep the Word of God active and working in your life and in the lives of your children. Whatever it takes. If it takes a black box on the forehead, then do that. But God has given us His Word, and we are to live by it, and we are to live a faithful, vibrant, spiritual life in the knowledge of the Lord as we follow His commands. He says, these commandments on your hearts impress on your children, and before children can establish faith in their own lives, they must see adults practice faith and living in truth. Is there a connection between faith and the way we live? I think there is. And I think we must live a faithful life as we walk along the road of life. If your children, your grandchildren, and now with me, great-grandchildren, if they do not see God actively working in my life and in my faith and the way I live my life, how are they going to know what faith's all about? What is my responsibility as an adult to to project to them my first admonition would be to preach Christ everywhere you go. Someone has said that and said, if necessary, when you preach Christ, use words. Kids look at our lives. Your children look at your life. And so as we travel along, we need to give them the version of Christ and God that's not distorted by all of the things that would cause them to reject Christianity. Children watch mom and dad and gramps and grandma and others. Somebody says, well, we don't have any children, or our children are all gone. Hey, you have a church family. And you have as much responsibility in your church family as moms and dads do. Good for our families today to practice faith and living faithfully. Our walk must match our talk. If you talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. You know, I'm probably semi-hillbilly, if not totally hillbilly. We need to practice walking with Christ. Your children, my children, need to see me pray and experience my prayer life and my faith in Jesus Christ. You can say God answers prayer. And that's really great. But if you don't demonstrate it to your children, and you practicing the practice of believing that God answers prayer, it probably isn't going to carry over to them. You say, Pastor, you're being terribly hard on us. No, I want to encourage you to be active in living for Jesus Christ in your practice before those children. You see, the ones closest to us see our lives the clearest. It's easy to practice your faith sitting in a church pew while everything's quiet and nothing's happening to disturb things or stir things up. But folks, out there where the rubber meets the road is where your children, my children and grandchildren need to see me practicing my faith and my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. This passage of Scripture says, impress them on your children. And in the Hebrew, it means to repeat. And they use that same terminology when sharpening a blade. Keep rubbing on the sharpening stone until you reach till the blade has the sharp edge. And I'm preaching to you today that you need to keep rubbing your spiritual awareness on the whetstone until it's sharp and your children are aware. The word involved here is teaching the truth of God's laws over and over. You say, my kids get tired of hearing that stuff. And we go to church and they should get it at church. Well, probably the most that any families get to spend in church and being exposed to the truths of Jesus Christ It's probably 3 or 4 hours a week. 5 hours. They're exposed every day to the world. And folks, we need to be aware, as those Jewish families were aware, that we need to celebrate our contact with God and our contact with Jesus Christ and our contact in the reality of what it means. How many years have the Jews been celebrating these things? Well, thousands. You know, I told you about the little black boxes. Thousands of years ago, this was handed down. And they've been practicing this practice for thousands of years. They still celebrate the Passover, Hanukkah, in their homes and in their synagogues. God's divine intervention when he brought them out of Egypt. And Christians need to celebrate the confessing of their sins and repentance and what God has done for them, and baptism and communion and Advent and the resurrection, and keeping the truth a reality in our homes and in our families. I'm not just preaching to you this morning, I'm preaching to me too. Because I still have that responsibility. And what we practice at church must be kept alive at home. It's good that children have the iPhones and all these things that they keep up with and society's ways of doing things. But our children need to be exposed as much to the things of God as they are to the games on the iPhones. They need to be exposed as much to the things of God as they're exposed to the things on TV. Some are concerned about pushing children. I'm going to let them decide on their own. Oh, okay. What are they going to decide on their own? What are we teaching them? What are we pointing them toward? Have you decided to let them make their own choice about school? Have you decided to let them make their own choice about what's right and what's wrong? We push grades and education, and we must learn. Children must learn. They're pushed towards success. No expense is spared. We push them to achieve good looks and popularity, stand at the head of the class. But our children must be prepared to live for God. And unless we are preparing them for that in their lives, more than likely, they will not be equipped to face eternity. Sobering? Yes. Important? Yes. The Jews kept this before the children thousands of years ago. They still keep these words before their children. Do not become weary in teaching your children and your grandchildren about the Lord Jesus Christ. Set the proper example in the home with family devotions. Talk to them along the road when they lie down at night, when you get up in the morning, you see your children's heritage comes from God. In the book of Psalm 127th division of Psalm, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Are sons born in one's youth? Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate. Encouraging. Our son played the trombone, or tried to. We tried to encourage him in the home to play the horn. Went home one day and he had driven a stick. Said he was cleaning the horn and he had driven a stick down into one of the tubes on the thing and got it stuck. Now, me being the patient father that I am, I admonished him in the strongest way that that wasn't the way to clean a horn. Didn't do the horn any good. We had to replace it. But did I say, now you've had a little problem with this horn, and so we'll just forget this from now on? No, we purchased another horn. He learned to play it. He can even play a trumpet now. Well, when he wants to. You see, encouraging our children to do the right thing the right way is not just a matter of saying, here's a horn, go do with it whatever you want to. And when we hand them the truth of God, we can't say to them, take this and go do with it whatever you want to. We live in a new era of Christian faith. We want our children to declare personal faith in the Savior. There's no such thing as a mild dose of Christianity. Help them to know Jesus Christ personally. There are a lot of options out there, but there's only one way to know the Lord. And I know they're saying there's different ways to God. Folks, that's not what my Bible says. Jesus said, I am the gate. And there's only one. And if you take any other, you're going to miss what God has for your lives. Not enough to be exposed, because just exposure doesn't mean a great deal in faith. The very nature of Christianity demands conversion and becoming new creations in Christ Jesus. That's not my words, that's in the Bible. New creations in Christ Jesus. Okay, you parents that need to recover children, see, what was I supposed to do? Point and go. The church wants to help. But it's going to take a commitment by you, their church family. Biblical truth needs to be used to equip and encourage every parent and child, all family and friends, to supplement and reinforce Christian values as they're taught in the homes. Well, we're going to do some special things today. We have three children that we're going to bring down, and we're going to ask the grandparents to join them. And great-grandparents, if they feel like it, I know of one set of great-grandparents that's here. I'd like to have you join right down front here. Do we have the children from upstairs down yet? Our children are in. Okay, where's Steve? Hold your hand. Oh, there you are. You're hiding. Steve said, I've never done this before. Well, I've never done this before exactly like this. So come on down, Steve. Come on down, moms and dads and grandparents, and bring those children with you. I tell you what, you already saw pictures of these kids. Stand by your grandbabies or your children. I'm going to have to give Steve and Janet some guidance here because they don't know which one is.
They all feel like
grandchildren. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Steve, would you proceed with presenting their first Bibles to them? Elizabeth is a little girl, but she's got a big name. Can everybody see? I'm going to give you a closer look. Y'all have your Bibles? Congratulations, Grandpa.
Thank you.
Grandma?
Mom?
Hi, sweetie. Elizabeth Grace, is that right? Hey, Berkeley. Look at that grin. Can you see that grin from where you are? Congratulations, Mom and Dad. Justin, God bless you. Justin's wife's not able to be here with us today. She's working, but isn't this a precious little guy here on the end?
Yeah.
His name is Isaac. Wonder where that came from. Okay, I'd like to have you all stand together. We're going to have a closing prayer. You'd say, boy, he's through preaching that. And now I've fulfilled my duty. Well, not quite. Because we want everybody to go to this side over here and come down this aisle and come right by these parents. And then, over here at the end, on this Bible, I have some bookmarks that bear the names of all these children, and I would like for everyone that would pray for these children to come by and pick up one of these bookmarks, put it in your Bible, so that it will remind you when you have your daily devotions, I need to pray for Berkeley, Elizabeth, and Isaac. Think that's a good idea? Will you join me in practicing that? Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are blessed and thank you for these children. Thank you for the leadership in our children's department. Thank you for those that have gathered here today. Bless them in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, just come right on down this way.